Blog Talk Radio.
The bloom, the swoon, the sugar's on your block. The planets let them flash in the corners of New York. The ghetto, the meadow, the Mr. Butterflew. The honey bugs dug and licked the honeydew. The sun, the kiss, the funk for a bit. The lips with the soul and some jazz for your hips. The puff, the buzz, the lids be heavy slick. The mecca get a rush when the beats be very thick. The hands, the feet, the brown baby treat. The femmes fumble loose and drink the doodle juice. The steps, the flams, the planets got damp. The people get a grip with the tape from a jam. A nickel bag of funk, a nickel bag of funk.
A nickel bag of funk, a nickel bag of funk.
A nickel bag of funk, a nickel bag of funk.
Uh-huh, a nickel bag of funk, a nickel bag of funk. The big, the fat, the cool, cool cats. The psychedelic soul puts the planets on the map. The chic, the love, the far out name. The lack of the funk's the main, why we came. The boogie gets done, the colors won't run. The funk hits the square, the kids gotta come. The pizza with the pop, the West Fourth stop. The crew after crew that do the grasshop. The true cool is black, the new school is fat. The beats by the ounce, the funk by the pack. The groove is the fix, the jitterbug's fix. The hanging off the butts with the fat soul kicks. That's my nickel bag of funk, my nickel bag of funk.
A nickel bag of funk, a nickel bag of funk.
I said a nickel bag of funk, a nickel bag of funk.
Oh, a nickel bag of funk, a nickel bag of funk. The wide, the hip, dig it, it's the trip. The loop, the scene, and the funkifying it. The sounds, the pounds, the stacks, the flares. The baggy, baggy jeans, the naughty, naughty hair. The twinkle in the eye, the kisses living fly. The crew from the sky, the stuff that gets you high. The action, the work for the rhyme. We goes the whole nine. The papers won't rot, the vapors get got. The streets get the buzz, the funk off your block. The opium groove, the smacked out soul. The kicking it live, the fat. Gotta roll with my nickel bag of funk, my nickel bag of funk.
A nickel bag of funk, a nickel bag of funk.
Yeah, it's a nickel bag of funk, a nick bag of funk.
A nickel bag of funk, a nickel bag of funk.
Nickel bag, a nickel bag. Ladybug will hit you with a nickel bag. A nickel bag, a nickel bag. Butterfly hit you with a nickel bag, a nickel bag, a nickel bag. Doodlebug hit you with a nickel bag, a nickel bag, a nickel bag. DP's always hit you with a nickel bag.
Welcome to Headliners Ball. This show's format gives both authors and audience alike the chance to entertain a deeper discussion regarding a choice selection of poems from the author's catalog of work. Headliners will perform pieces in their intended style. In turn, they will receive encouraging feedback from an all-inclusive panel of late-night poet callers. I am your host, Jeremy F., and as always, I am joined by the bane of the NCAA. The woman who has not once, not twice, but thrice filled out an incredibly perfect tournament bracket, making bookies bang down her door in protest. Pam Ray, how are you, my dear?
I'm living it up, you know. It's the good life. I am doing good.
Are you excited for yet another NCAA men's college basketball tournament? And is the world nervous on how accurate you are with your picks?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You just know it. Oh, damn. I wish half the stuff you said was true, but especially that, because I'd be rolling in the dough.
Don't let her fool you. It's all true. Pam Ray is one of the most talented, gifted people we have here on AP. Don't let her fool you.
Yeah, I'm just extremely humble. But I will say that one thing that I know for sure is true is that tonight I am looking forward to hanging out with you and other cool poets and delving into the poetry and discussing it.
Well, that's a wonderful segue, because I think we do have some cool poets tonight. I think one of them is going to arrive a little bit later. She has some logistical issues, but we should have one to go ahead and introduce if you have him on the line.
I do, yes. I would like to welcome Eric Herf to the show. Welcome, Eric. Glad you could be here.
Hey there, Pam. Been a while. How are you?
I'm great. Good to hear you. It has been a while. So glad you're here.
Yes, ma'am.
Eric, no, we're excited to get you on the show, brother man. I'm glad you could join us. As you know, chivalry is not dead here on Headliners Ball. We usually let the ladies go first. But Amy, like I said, has a little bit of technical challenges, so she might join us here in the next half hour. So guess what?
Gotcha.
You get to dive right in and go first. So if
cool.
you're ready, go to the boards. I have your first poem from your set list up, ready for your performance when you are.
Okay. All right, first poem. It's called Carol the Snake. All right. The poem's called Carol the Snake. I wrote it in December of 2020. Green lights of fire lie to the world at night, and the powerful Lord dwells in the twilight. Shall I walk, run, or face the dawning fight? Or will this draw me near like the devil's light? I kill to live and walk to give. Ever since I have dwelt into this curse, forbearance was my word, I have nothing to see. Cry with me now, and watch for the devil's hand, for this dreadful horcrux wails to me in my sleep. See the moment, and fear the night, even the forests know we hoard our fright. The boy who lived is nothing but a scent, and the crucifixion of the curse is the meaning of life. One lives, the other dies. So why is it the newborn that cries? Follow me now and wait for the sword. For with this, the unheard language will not go unheard. Live in the moment and see in the whole world. These dreams will give face to the one without a name. Curses and spells are all that lie in my powers. Cry as I die, O Lady Luck. Live for the moment, O scepter of death, because in this land there is no phoenix. The fang of a snake cannot be sought, for only the curse can get rid of that notebook. Here in the night there is no chamber, because of this fight we all must wait. Seven rings fall to the death bells, and the carol of the snake is the one that was sang. For in this world there must be pain. Without that pain, there is no gain. End poem.
Wonderful read. Wonderful start for the evening. Pam, you always get to go first. Let's hear it.
Yes, I see you won bronze in a Harry Potter contest for this. Very cool. And that you put in your AN that you've read the books in the series multiple times. You know, I think it's so important to have favorite books and favorite authors. I will admit that Harry Potter is not one of my favorites. In fact, I never made it past the first two books. But what I really appreciate about this poem is you've done a wonderful job, I'm assuming, of writing, fitting in little details of the books and of the movies that true fans will, like yourself, will really relate to. And yet people like me who are like, you know, just not quite sure what's going on, can still appreciate this for the poetic quality. In fact, this is the type of poem that might inspire someone to delve into books that they really haven't read before. I like the imagery in this. I like the first person narrative. Cry with me now and watch for the devil's hand, for this dreadful horcrux wails to me in my sleep. See the moment and fear the night. Even the forest knows we hoard our fright. really nice rhyme there, strong imagery, great mythological type feel, as anything inspired by the Harry Potter books should have. So I really just definitely enjoy and appreciate this. And I would like to know, Eric, about you. How did you get started writing poetry?
So I was actually in, I can remember I was in eighth grade, and I did like this little writing contest, and I had never written poetry before this. Like, I was probably, what, eighth grade, so 9, 10 years old, don't remember how exactly how old. But I always loved to read, and like with this poem, Harry Potter was one of the first and only books that I ever read when I was a kid. So in this poetry contest, or writing thing that I did, I don't remember exactly, I wrote, it was like probably a 6 or 7 stanza poem, and it baffled my teachers, because how can this eighth grader write at such a high advanced level? And ever since then, you know, I've been writing, God, for 15 plus years now.
Oh, wow. Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. And
no,
when I was
story.
In the military, what's that?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Nah. So when I was in the military, you know, I wrote poems like this because it helps me escape from, you know, the stresses of being a soldier. Especially if you go overseas, you deal with a lot of stuff, even if you're not in an active combat zone, you know, you're always, it's stressful. You're running 100 miles an hour, and anybody that's listening that's been in the military can understand that. And so later on tonight, we'll probably get into some of those poems of what it's like being overseas. But yeah, that's my story of how I became a writer, not just in poetry, but writing novels as well.
No, and that's very cool insight. And that's what the show is all about. And I love that, because I think that if you were encouraged, if anyone was encouraged at a young age, per what you just told us, it really expands the mind and gives people the courage to be creative. I had a very similar experience. And so I love it when teachers recognize someone that has a passion or a talent or a gift or whatever you want to call it, just an insight to write, and encourages them to do so. So I really like that story. And that was a great question, Pam. And what I like about this is, very much like Pam, I'm not into the whole fantasy genre of Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, all of that stuff. But my wife, on the other hand, is a nut about it. So I'm very familiar with it just by proxy. So I appreciate that, and I appreciate good storytelling, and I guess that's the part of it that I like. And I like that you picked up on it and capture the spirit of good storytelling. And I think you were able to do it in nuance in short measure by being it in poetry. So I guess I have a couple questions on this particular poem. It struck me the most, and my first one, obviously, as always, is why did you choose this one to lead off? What does it say about you as a poet, and why you wanted to start the conversation with this poem?
So I started with this one because it's kind of on the lighter side. You know, I've got a lot of poetry that's deep, dark. It delves into the inner mind and emotions of, you know, I struggle with some mental illnesses. Don't really want to get too far into that, but I struggle with some mental illnesses, so a lot of my writing nowadays deals with those kind of man versus thought. So I started off with this because it's kind of a lighter one. You know, a lot of people know Harry Potter. Even if you don't read or watch the movies, you know of it, so you can relate to it. You know somebody that reads the books or watches the movies, like you, your wife. She reads, watches, I don't know exactly what she does, but yeah, reads the books, watches the movies. So you can relate to the Harry Potter, and then you can enjoy, like you said, the storytelling. So I start with the lighter things, and then we can little by little go deeper into the poems, because I don't want to just, you know, all dark and deep and go straight into it. You know what I mean? easing into it is the better way, in my opinion.
And no, I'm chuckling while you're talking, because don't get me wrong, she has the damn movies on every weekend in this house. We got kids. It's drilled into my brain. I want to make a quick note that your co-headliner tonight is joining us on the board. She's going to join us here in a minute when she can audibly join us. But A.R. Mundell has made the comment. She said, "Hi, everyone. Hanging on the boards a bit while people are asleep. Great read and write, Eric. Love the rhyme scheme and repeating forms. Especially love kill to live and walk to give." So she's with us, and she'll be here to comment here in a bit. And that's kind of my follow-up question with this. And it was interesting you talked about the dark canons, because of all of the themes. I mean, Harry Potter is incredibly rich and well-written with all of its themes and all the different milieus that it follows in the whole storyline. And I felt the darkness in this. And it's funny that you comment that you kind of wanted to make this more light, but I still felt that there was more of all the canons that you could have followed in Harry Potter. It seemed like you were still giving nod or homage or whatever, some kind of notice to the darker talents that the stories have. And do you want to expand upon that in your writing, or do you want to save that till later?
Yeah. So it's with this poem specifically, it's a mixture of, you know, you go light, dark, because it follows the books. You know, in the books, you have these moments of where you're happy and everything's cool. You know, it's the story of friends. And then they've got to face off against a malicious murder, you know. But the reason why I'm saying this poem is a little bit darker or lighter than those that are going to fall, a lot of this goes into the nitty gritty of talking about some really deep down, worst of the world type of stuff. So this was the first poem I chose due to the fact that it's, one, something everybody can understand, follow along with, and two, it's not super mental health, you know, related. It's a story. So I don't know if that answered your question.
No, fair enough, man. It's your hour. I love the fact that you started off with something that means so much to you. It's always cool when we learn more about a poet's inspiration right out of the gate, because it kind of sets the tone. So great answers, man.
Yeah.
I have your next one up on the board, ready when you are, the Mad Hatter.
Yeah. All right. This poem is called The Mad Hatter. I wrote it in August of 2020. The Mad Hatter, drink, drink, drink the red wine. Come with me into the hole filled with swine. Run, run, walk in double time, for this whole deal is marked with crazy time. Welcome to the land of sane insanity, where clothes are only worn with filthy and sanctity. Follow me, let the voices reign. We all float down here. God doesn't belong here, and the devil strays far away. The white roses become red as they are painted with dread. The cards are dealt in this game meant for those that are dead. The queen of this land stands atop a throne of lies. She laughs with the voices eating even the flies. Come with me, cry inside, for no one is safe. Hide all your friends. What is that, smiling as if it is a moon? Stay away. It will make your soul swoon. Tick, tock, no time on the clock. Awake on the tea table and smile at the clock. End poem.
Eric, Pam and I often joke about how we're going to compose a book about all the things we learned on this show, all the common themes. One of them is advice. The other one is Lewis Carroll and Mad Hatter poems. I love talking about these, and I love how creative poets are when they submit their poems and their different takes. This one, they're always different, right? And I always want to sit there at that tea party with everyone that experiences and captures the essence of what goes on there in their own way. for an influence, for Carol being the influence of the right. And what I liked here is I really dug how you took meter. You took meter to a different level, and the way you performed it just now, I didn't notice it when I read it the other day, but the way you performed it, especially when the first and second, how there was a pace to it, and then you got away from it, and then you came back to it, was particularly enjoyable for me. I mean, I think it kind of it goes from normalcy to chaos to normalcy, and I'm not talking about content. I'm just talking about just how you, again, the meter of how you presented the poem. So the performance brought something new to me, which was very meaningful, and I really dig this poem.
Glad you like it.
Yeah, no, it's very cool. And so talk to us a little bit about your process. When you sit down to write a poem, what does it look like? How long does it take? Where do you sit? Is it longhand? Is it typewritten? How does it all come together for you?
So it's kind of funny, and my girlfriend, she might come on to the show later to listen in. She'd tell you this too. I can sit down and write a poem like this in 5 minutes. Because to me, I mean, I just, the words flow, if that makes sense. I sit down and I can think of a word, right? Like a 10-letter word, and I can put it acrostic style and just make a poem out of it. Any word. And I've had that gift, talent, whatever you want to call it, for ever since I've been writing. I think of things and then it flows out. I could sit. It's easier for me if I sit down and write it in like a journal or write it down on paper. But if I'm typing it out, it takes a little longer. But still, like within 20 minutes, I can have a 4-stanza poem like this. I think this one actually it did only take me like 10 or 15 minutes to write.
Well, damn, color me jealous. I wrestle with words way too much then. No, that is a gift, and I think it comes through. I think a lot of times when we interview headliners, and someone is very comfortable with their words and their style and their format, there's an honesty to it and there's a clarity, and so it's a gift, man, and very cool and very well done. I like this a lot. Go ahead, Pammy. Your
Thank
turn.
You.
Yes, I have to agree. Definitely a gift, and I am a huge fan of poems inspired by Lewis Carroll and the Alice in Wonderland, because characters, because there's just so much to get into and so many different ways you can take it. And yeah, I like the way the repetition of drink, 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 and run, walk in double time really added a great lyrical quality to this write. Now, to me personally, I kind of got the idea that the thought came into my head as you read this, and I was reading along with you, of the idea of a purgatory of sorts, and the purgatory here being that idea of somebody who is trapped in a mental illness to where they're not really living life, but yet at the same time they haven't been brought to the point of death. And I really like it, and I like how it makes me think. But I would like to know what this poem means to you.
So you actually, when you were saying that, I had to kind of do a double take, because you hit it nail on the head. At this point in time in my life, I was getting out of the military, and I had really no options for me. You know, I was working. I went straight from the military to working retail. And for anybody that works retail, that is not easy. You know, people can say all this, all that they want, but that job was, to me, I would go back into the military at any point in my life over working that job. It was backbreaking. I was tired. The pay was crap. And I felt stuck. And I was living life on autopilot. You know, and so you hit the nail on the head. I was just kind of stuck, and I watched Alice in Wonderland during this time period, and that's how this poem was born. I'm stuck. This is my inspiration. let me sit down and get my feelings out while also using one of my favorite characters as an inspiration for it.
Very cool.
Hit the nail on the head with that, Pam.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
Well, and that's the big point of the show. That's the big point of the show, Eric. I mean, Pammy's one of the best at analyzing poetry. So to know that you're getting that feedback and know that you do have an audience that is paying attention, Pam does have a gift in interpreting poetry, like I said. And so I'm glad you guys were connecting. That's a very cool moment to kind of hear in. Amy's still with us. She said it's a really interesting direction to Wonderland. Love how dark you took it. So, again, she should be joining us here in a minute. And your next poem, Eric, Questions, is up. Ready when you are.
All right. Trigger warning for anybody that has problems with suicide or anything like that. This is a trigger warning now. Okay. Poem is called Questions. I wrote this in March of 2020. Questions. Embers and ash, that is all I see, for this has been what has become of me. Written was it not my fated curse that the drink would become my last verse. I was once a beggar, a coward, then I walked for 5 miles as a soldier. But here I lie, yet again with no power, even when I thought myself once mighty. Arrogance was my language, and pride had become my downfall. Now I lie here in bed, thinking of all that has gone wrong. What became of that once sweet child? I can blame no one but myself. Some may call me fake, others will call me ornery. Still some will know me as desperate, and I do not know whether to beg for pity or laugh in agreement. Cast away by my own iniquity, I have tried to stand tall, but alas, here lies my own curtain call. I now have to be like the phoenix, picking myself up, because I know I have failed. Lie with me now, my hopes and dreams. Let me pray for a little while longer. Soon I will meet the world for what it truly is, and on that day I hope I do not return to the bottle. Friends have left me, and some family have forsaken me. Who but myself do I have to blame? There is always the question we each must answer. What do I do now? No, this is not the poem I thought it was. Oops.
Sorry about that. I hope we got the right one in place. Wonderful read. Go ahead.
No, that's.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Eric. What do you have to say?
No, you're good. I had it wrong on my list.
Okay. Go ahead, Pammy. Start us off with comments, please.
Yes, I think this is just a powerful and hard-hitting write. It's got a very confessional poetry style to it, a raw honesty of how you appear to other people and how you appear to yourself. I really like, some may call me fake, others will call me ornery. Some will know me as desperate, and I do not know whether to beg for pity or laugh in agreement. It shows that we all have so many different sides of ourselves, and it shows the struggles of relationships and, you know, like friendships and, you know, trying to reconnect with people and, you know, all the way through just very emotive lines. The question I have is, since we've already had one poem inspired by a favorite author of yours and another poem inspired by a favorite character, I would like to know if you have any other favorite, say, classic poets or authors that you enjoy reading or are inspired by.
So I actually got a tattoo of my favorite author is Edgar Allan Poe.
Oh, cool.
So I have the Raven on top of a skull in 3 books. So 3 books, one has E.A. Poe on it. The other has poems because I'm a poetry writer. And the third book is blank for all the poems and books that I'm going to write. Yeah, so that is, I got a tattoo because it means so much to me. The poem Nevermore, I had once had it memorized and recited it for a school play when I was in high school. So.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, it took me about a month to memorize the whole damn thing.
And Poe is extremely righteous, and it took me a minute to get on the Poe train, but it's undeniable. I mean, he was a righteous dude, and his death, his life, his death, everything about him and how he put together words, truly inspirational. And I can see a lot of the veins, I don't know how to describe it, mood, I guess. In reading your body, at least in your set list, the mood that Poe creates, I think you do a good job. I can see the influence, I guess. You're not, because you have your own style, for sure, and your own inspiration. There's a heart to Poe, I guess, is what I'm saying. So I love that Pam asked that question, and I love that that's your answer. Pam, if you would ever ask me, there is a huge Pam Ray tattoo across my heart. So know that you are my inspiration.
No, well, I knew that was there because I'm the one who put it there, remember?
Best tattoo artist on the West Coast. Buddy, you know what's cool about this? And we've talked about it on the show before, and I hope this isn't too personal. I want to preface it with that. Say pass if you want to go into this, but it's a dichotomy that I'm appreciating more and more, and it's the soldier poet. And the reason I call it a dichotomy is because being a soldier is such a rigid, regimented lifestyle, right? With rules and duty and extremes. And writing poetry is, to me, is on the opposite spectrum of that. So when I see the mix, I'm always intrigued by it, and I'm becoming a greater and greater fan of it. And I want to know if you want to dive into that at all about what that mindset feels like for you.
So yeah, before the Army, I considered myself a pretty good poet, right? And when I became a soldier, it just wasn't for me. You know what I mean? Like, I'd like to do what I want to do. And so having those two kind of imbalances in my life, it was difficult. And when you're writing poetry, what I like to do, at least, is I put myself in my own little world in that moment, right? So sometimes it's difficult to separate the two. But I have this soldier mindset, poet mindset. And when I mix the two, some very interesting creations become, and you'll see that later on some of my other poems. The rigid mindset of a soldier versus the free-flowing mindset of a poet is it's difficult to some of the experiences I've had, it's difficult to escape from. But if I don't escape from them, if I don't put myself in that free world and kind of, you know, let myself loose, it brings back stuff I don't want to, you know, let myself become or experience again, if you get the drift. Does that answer the question?
No, I think I do. And is that the reconciliation? I mean, for someone that deals with any kind of trauma and having that creative outlet, something that you had fostered before, is that something you turn back to and that is the solace, that is the therapy of all of it?
Yeah, so when I first came back, it was difficult. It was really difficult. Sometimes, you know, I would just be sitting in my room and just not existing. I'd just be basically a breathing human doll. Eat, work, go to sleep, repeat. Didn't have any hobbies. And it was because I was still stuck over there. You know? Still be in that mindset of, oh, just doing what you need to do repeatedly day in and day out. You get up, you go to work, you come home. It didn't help that at the time I was also going through a divorce. So when I started writing again, because there was a long time where I wasn't writing at all, when I started writing again, it allowed me that release to, okay, now I can let these demons out on paper and I can start living. And so the pen name Soldier Poet shows that while I'm a soldier, this emotionless statue of a person, I can separate myself from that and be my own freestanding person. It took me a long time to realize I could separate myself from that guy, you know.
No, badass, Eric. That, thank you for sharing that. I mean,
you're welcome.
That's, again, that's what we're all about, is we're trying to understand other poets here on AP. And for you to be so honest and sharing, I appreciate you for being so vulnerable and sharing your story. I mean, it makes all of us that are learning more about you appreciate your work, where it comes from, and the nuance in everything that you put together. So, brother man, thank you so much. That was a cool story. And thank you for being so honest again. So believe it or not, these hours go by extremely fast. We're already at halfway, and I want to give you a chance to self-promote. Tell us a little bit about where else we can find your work. Have you had the ability to get anything published? Are you only here on AP? Kind of toot your own horn here for a second.
So I have another website that I write on called Web Novel, but that's really kind of walked into its own little clique. If you enjoy anime, manga, stuff like that, then it's for you. But if not, you know, it's a project I've been working on for a long time. And unfortunately, I haven't been able to put any effort into it because I work a lot, like sometimes upwards of 80 hours. So sitting pretty at like just under 25,000 words. And the thing is, with a web novel, each chapter is about 1,500 words. So I have 25 chapters, but or 24 chapters and just under 25,000 words. If you want to check it out, it's webnovel.com/Eric Herf. If not, you know, it's not. It's a side project for me, just really a hobby because I'm a big anime guy.
No, dude, this is your time to shine. I suggest anyone that likes anything that Eric puts together to go check him out, support him, check out his website, check out his novel. No, man, I mean, we're doing this for you, so definitely tell us more about it. Very cool. I can appreciate someone that celebrates their writing talent on different genres as well. So right on, man. Very cool.
Thank you. Your next poem,
I Left My Heart at Home, is up, ready when you are.
This is a heavy hitter, I think. All right. So this is called I Left My Heart at Home. I wrote this in January of 2020. Lying here alone, all I can think about is my home. She needs me there so that for my sins I can atone. But alas, I will cry here next to the phone. God forgive me, for I feel like I will die. This is my light, my sin, and my devil's cry. Watch and wait. I shall sing the soldier's lullaby. We fight to live, but live to give faith to heaven's sigh. This bastion of faith is one I cannot bear. And to this soldier, war is all I fear. Should I care or wait for the devil to take me into his lair? When I return, nothing is the same. Love has been lost, and I am no longer sane. War is my life, my love, and all that I hold profane. Never shall I live within my own name. Does the raven quote nevermore? Shall I sit here watching, waiting for her implore? I sit here napping, crying on my bedroom floor. There I will lie, waiting for more to take me through the final door.
And I listened to this through a couple of lenses, right, from what you've already told us. But there are a couple mistresses here, if I'm not wrong. I think you're not just talking about one. I think you're talking about a couple. And the fact that you chose to employ rhyme to it and have that comforting feel seems like a self-therapeutic device, which I think was a clever twist. And I love the fact that we talked about Poe, we talked about your personal love life, we talked about war, and I think all of that is in this very, very revealing, right, from what we've already learned from. So I don't have much more to say than I kind of want you to talk about it and share what you want to say more about it.
So, yeah, this is right in the middle of after the divorce. After the divorce, I kind of went real stir crazy. And I went through what myself and my girlfriend call a hoe phase, which is where, you know, sleeping with people left and right. And then I met somebody that I thought was eventually going to be my forever partner. That ended up not being a thing. And afterwards, it struck me pretty bad. Because here I am, you know, at this point in life, I'm starting to start my transition from military to civilian. I think I was still in, but in the process of starting to get out. And so I'm just sitting here, you know, at one point I had a bottle of Jack on my left and a gun on the right. I was just that close to taking it all. And that's the reference to the, you know, sitting in my bedroom and, you know, going to the bathroom and just crying, you know, because it's like I'm ready to just end it all and not deal with this crap anymore. But it's called four close nights to where war was just waiting for me to come home. And that's what it talks about there.
Damn, Eric. You're one of the most brave headliners we've had to date. I appreciate the share. It makes for a great conversation. Go ahead, Pammy.
Yes, I really, truly appreciate your honesty, not only in your poetry, but in answering the questions tonight and taking time to share yourself with us. And, of course, before I forget, I'd like to make sure that I say thank you so much for your service, for your country. Truly, truly, it's appreciated. This is a powerful rite that really does speak on the idea of being torn apart emotionally. It's hard hitting all the way through. I did like the nod to Poe there at the end, and I like the use of the word bastion. You know, there's not a whole lot I can say about this poem because I think between Jeremy's question and allowing you to just talk about the poem, I think it really all been said, but sometimes I just hone in on certain words, and I thought that bastion was a great choice. So wonderful, right, and thank you so much for your service.
Thank you.
Wonderful comments, Pam. And we are ready, my friend, for the next one, Blood Moon. Up, ready when you are.
This one's got a funny story to it.
I'm sorry. Oh, man. Okay, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to tell us that funny story because any poem titled Blood Red, Blood Moon, and the person preempts it with, this has a funny story, that story must be told.
Okay. So this one's, of course, named Blood Red, Blood Moon, This was written in October of 2018. Blood red, blood moon, wait for the awful howl. Watch and listen for the sound, a million soldiers growl. Wait, listen, see the night. Leave your children awake in a fright. Fading softly, bloodshed is waiting. List to the sound of dark. Hark to the goddess. Forgive not her sacrifice and hear that fateful lark. Live to learn and die by the sword, for that is thine true mark. Look to the sky and sing the angel's lullaby, for such is the night's tale. Blood red, blood moon, listen to that sound. An army in await. Look for blood, O perilous hood, for that is mine own fate.
All right, keep going, buddy. You know she's going to ask, so keep going. Pam's going to start, but go ahead and keep going, Eric. What do you got behind this one?
So we were in training, and we had stopped by a tent to because we were escorting my commander to drop him off at headquarters. And I look up, and it's this big-ass, like, moon that's shining red. I think I don't know the term for it, but it's just red and big. And I'm like, shit, that's a beautiful moon. And I look for my phone, and I realize I had left it in my at my bed. I'm like, fuck. So I looked at my buddy. I'm like, hey, look, I got to write this down real quick. And so I wrote this poem down, and my buddy looks over at me, and he's like, Herf, what the hell are you doing? I'm like, well, I can't take a picture of it, so I got to write it down. And the dude just shakes his head and walks away. I'm like, this idiot. It was funny in the moment. I know.
Fair enough.
Saying it isn't kind of funny, but in the moment it was just.
I could see that being funny at the moment. You know, it is funny because I think for anybody who really one who is into poetry, who is gifted or led by poetry, like people like us, and we have an interaction with somebody who just doesn't get it, you know, it is amusing for sure.
Totally agree. No, I totally agree. No, when the muse hits, I mean, especially from what you talked about earlier, Eric, about your ability, your gift, your penchant to write things down when it hits you, when the mood hits you. No, I feel it. Especially, I mean, exactly what Pam said. No, when you have to get those lines down and remember them, you have to do it. And yeah, it makes us all a little bit weird, but that's the love of the word that we all share. So very cool. I like the story of it. I think it's very cool. Tell me a little bit about, you had mentioned you have your girlfriend that was with you and she might join us, or I'll make this question simple. What does poetry mean to you in terms of sharing? I think it's cathartic in a lot of ways from what you've already told us and putting your words down. But what does it mean to you to share your poetry on a place like All Poetry for other people to read it and comment? How does that hit you?
So, give me 1 second. When I was in the Army, and I started writing poetry again, my goal was that if there was somebody out there that was kind of going through some of the same stuff as I am, and there's a lot of people that are in the military that, you know, go through divorce or we go out and some of us don't return home or, you know, girlfriends break up when you're overseas or, you know, stuff like that. You go into a military base and you say, oh, this happened to me. You got a dime a dozen responding. Yeah, this happened to me too. Cause you know, you're in training a lot. You don't come home a lot. Sometimes we do 24-hour days. Sometimes we work over the weekends. There'd be months at a time where I'm out in training for 30 months at a time. Or when you're overseas, sometimes you have communication blackouts. You can't call back home for months at a time. And anybody that's been married to a soldier or have been around soldiers know what that's like, where you can't contact your service member that's in your family. And so for me, when I was going through all this stuff, I'm like, you know, I was an E5 in the Army. I'm like, well, one, I have my soldiers that I can mentor, right? So we're in these really crappy conditions, hoofing it up. And sometimes it's raining. We're sleeping on the ground. We're sleeping on rocks. We're sleeping in vehicles. Sometimes, you know, you're walking around with 100 plus pounds on your back, not knowing if you're going to make it home or not, you know? And so I'm like, I can share these stories and I can put this into writing to be able to help. And if anybody is going through this, they can reach out to me and be like, hey, man, like, I'm struggling with this too. And the military is really, like, people call it a cult, but it really is that in a lot of sense. Like, we have this own brotherhood that we've gone through shared experiences, and we can reach out to each other. I don't know this guy from Billy Boy down the street, but he's got that military experience. We can just start talking, and it becomes better. It helps to be able to share these stories with our people. And so with my girlfriend, you know, I write her poetry. Not often, but when something sparks, I write it down, and I share it with her. We're in a long-distance relationship right now, unfortunately, due to family issues and whatnot, so I can't be with her. And so little moments that I can share these stories with her or share these poems with her keeps that spark alive, you know? We talk a lot on the phone, hours and hours and hours at night. And so I can help assure her, show her that, yes, I still love you, even though we're not together in person, you know, because actions like me writing a poem, reading it to her, speak louder than words, just saying, I love you, you know.
So would you say then, as a follow-up, two-part, I mean, I guess you've kind of already answered the question, but I mean, when you're writing, I mean, is that where is the muse coming from? I mean, is it coming inside and then you're considering the audience, or are there separate poems where you are fully just dedicated to an audience, knowing that you're giving yourself because you want to create that tie? I don't know. I guess it's kind of a loaded question.
There's going to be three answers to this question. Some of my poems are actually me telling the story of someone else. And this is, I know that sounds weird, but it's to give light to people that are no longer here that can't share their stories so that I can form a connection and, you know, reach out, because people need to know who this person is. You know, they might not mean anything to you, but when you hear about the things that they've done and left behind, you'll appreciate that more. Another part is a lot of times I'll write for myself. You know, like we said earlier, I get my demons out by writing. I have certain inner struggles that I like to write about, and for me, writing lets me let those demons escape. You know, it's just my happy place, my place of where, okay, I'm putting this onto the pen, and while it still affects me, it no longer puts me on the brink. The third part is, yeah, I share my poems to kind of in a way reach out, but kind of in a way so that somebody sees that, they read it, it helps them know that they are not alone. You know, it really depends on the poem that I'm writing. But yes, a lot of times it's one of those three categories. And then there are some other poems where, like with the Mad Hatter or the Carol of the Snake, or the one we're going to get to next, is, you know, I'm looking at something, it's inspiring to me, it gives me a spark, and I'll just write it there on the top of the hat. Did that answer your question?
No, yeah, it's funny. I mean, you're sitting here, and I'm nodding like you're talking to me. So, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's a great answer, my friend. I love it. So let's hit it. Let's go to the Sailors. It's up and ready when you are.
The Sailors drum. If it'll load for me. Wi-Fi is kind of slow.
You might have to hit refresh if it's not popping up for you. You see it yet? There it goes. It should be through now.
All right. The Sailor's drum. Sailors of the night, cast no fears upon your fright. Dawn hearkens you tonight. Bring love into this twilight. Raise the sails, O lovers of the sea, and burn your dismay. Listen to the melody. Do not forget the rhythm. Can't you see? The sun has brought you a chance to be free. Listen, listen to that rhythm. Hear its slow thrum. Do not forget where you are from, and cast your hearts upon it, the sailor's drum.
And definitely a different feel from everything we've talked about tonight, and I'm glad we got to this one because this kind of has it has a sing-songy feel. I mean, there is still again with everything you write that undertone of dark heart and passion, no doubt, and we've talked about it at length tonight. But this one kind of sings a little bit more to me. I don't know how else to put it. I mean, it has that. It has all the camaraderie of, I don't know how else to put it, of being a swashbuckler. I mean, it has that. And it might be the rhyme. It might be the fact that it paced it right. I think you have more to it. But you've shared so much, Eric. I'm almost embarrassed to ask you of more. So I kind of want to ask you a softball. What advice can you give other people here at AP? If you were to sit down with a fresh budding eighth grade poet, when you would meet your younger self, what advice would you give someone that wants to aspire to write?
Don't follow the rules. You know, everybody says poems have to rhyme, and they don't. You can write some of the most beautiful poetry on the world, and it won't rhyme. But that's the best, you know, do what you want to do with it. It's art. It doesn't have to follow rules. You can cuss, you can write whatever you want. As long as it's from the heart, it's going to be good, you know? And some people may not like it. That's okay. A lot of people don't like the stuff that we put out. As long as you keep going at it, you'll get better with time.
I love those words. I think it's very well put. Go ahead, Pammy.
Yeah, this is wonderful. It has a great lyrical quality to it. You know, it has, even though it's not a particularly long poem, it has an epic feel. I think that might be in part of the idea of the romanticism that's put into poetry about sailors, because it encapsulates such, like, all of, so much of time and so much of history. You know, I've always been a big fan of poems that have to do with sailing and ships. And I particularly like in this one, the middle stanza, raise the sails, O lovers of the sea, burn your dismay, listen to the melody, do not forget the rhythm. Can't you see the sun has brought you a chance to be free? I love how that speaks on the freedom and of the sense of movement and music of the ocean. So wonderful, right? And
at the time of me writing, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no, you go ahead. I'd like to hear what you have to say.
So I think at the time of writing this, I was listening to, like, Old Norse music. Like, I forget what the name of those songs are, but, like, the Wellerman and stuff like that. And so I was listening to it, and I was writing at the same time and kind of tapping my foot to the rhythm. And that's where you hear the slow thrum, you know, doom, doom. That's what I was imagining as I was writing it.
Oh, cool. Oh, cool. Yeah. Man, I have this band that you might have already heard of, but that I ran a contest on recently that you will definitely might really like them. Let me see if I can. I'm gonna grab that really. Oh, Geldercraft. Have you ever heard of Geldercraft?
I think so. I think I've come across it before.
Yeah,
but
they're like
I'll
mix of kind of the Old Norse mixed with a bit of like hard rock, heavy metal. Really, really good stuff. And if you haven't listened to them, then I highly recommend them.
I'll look into it. Thank you.
Yeah, Pam, I'm not familiar with Geldercraft. Would you like to sing a couple bars for us, please?
It would basically sound like guttural screaming, but no.
Eric, it is my undying effort is to get Pam to sing during one of the shows. So every chance I get, I try to hit her up. Have we had any luck getting Amy on the show yet, Pam, or are we ready to hit another one of Eric's poems up?
We'll go ahead and hit up another one of Eric's poems. That sounds good.
Okay. Well, hopefully Amy can join us. Eric, you get to keep rocking if you're comfortable with it, my friend. We have a soldier's seminar ready if you are.
Now, this one is going to be hard. So I don't know if you've read this already, but it's going to be hard. And this is kind of like what I was talking about earlier with sharing other people's stories. This is going to share some stories in there of some people who did not make it home. And shine a little bit about them in here, okay? Okay. This is called the Soldier's Seminar. I wrote this when I was a very young soldier. The Soldier's Seminar, written in January of 2016. One of the first poems I put on this site. Sergeant, where are you? I need help. I cannot deal with the pain. The demons of that war haunt me. They love to hide in the darkness of my mind. I remember it all, Sergeant. I remember Munoz dying, calling out his wife's name. Sergeant, they had only been married for 3 weeks. I remember our lieutenant dying, screaming over the fact that he was leaving his child behind. Sergeant, where is he? He calls to me at night, telling me to die with him. Every night, he tells me, to finally escape the war. Sergeant, I remember the screams of Parker as she bled to death. Sergeant, these memories are killing me. Why? Why do we have to kill? Why do we have to kill children, wives, mothers, fathers? Sergeant, I cannot escape the sound of those blood-curdling screams as Williams was chopped in half from behind, his blood spattering everywhere. Sergeant, I may be alive, but I will never be myself again. One last question before I go. Sergeant, where are they? The war-hardened sergeant looked at the young man. The young man looked like death, torn, battered, and beaten. The sergeant spoke out of the darkness. Son, you will never understand war. War is a cruel entity. He laughs at innocence as he kills her with his merciless grasp. He looks at men with mirth as he destroys them. War loves to hate, and he hates to love. My son, never quit. Williams did not give his life to see you die, and Parker did not perish for naught. I tried to teach you all I could and thought of you as my own. Child, war will destroy. He will bend men over with his hammer of agony. He destroys lovers and makes orphans. It is your job to fight the demons he brings out. My son, war not only preys on the wicked, and the evil, but he preys on all those whom are born helpless. He loves a newborn child just barely born and destroys the bond of the couple who is just married. He slaughters the innocent and forsakes the righteous. My son, look at me. War is always present because whether or not you realize it, war is life. This I say to you before I go. Do not let Parker's screams fade in vain or William's death to have been for naught. Do not let us down, for even while we are not there, we are with you always. My son, live, laugh, love. You have a second chance and the ability to do what none of us could. beat the war. As the sergeant faded away, war came. For he, too, had nothing to say, had something to say. He looked at the soldier and said, "You forsake me, yet you know not who I am. Young one, your precious brothers and sisters died, and I watched in agony. Your machines roar and propel with their awful sound, and I cannot bear to hear. Why do I get blamed for tragedy when I'm a remedy? Do I not save more than I destroy? The innocent child with no protection is saved. The dead man left alive is filled with joy, and the hopeless once more know love. How many more are saved by my hand than those who die? Why then, child, do you judge? I am eons older than you. I was born before your oldest grandfather. My wisdom is infinite, and my power is unmatched. It is I who kills the innocent and destroys the oppressed. It is I who kills the hopeless and destroys the loving. But I am also merciful. A child survives a bomb because he is blessed. And a mother saves her children because I say so. Brothers outlast the fight, and it is I who allows the dead to live. Why blame me when you should blame the one whom is above all? Child, I am as old as God himself. Go ask him why war and death live while life dies." God, hearing all that was said, had compassion on the soldier. God came down and said to the soldier, "You blame without thought, and you feel sorry for nothing you know you feel sorrow for things you know nothing of. A soldier cries out for the family he has lost, yet those that perish are full of serenity. The dead have beat the war, for they are gone and pain no more. Why then, child, do you complain? Do you enjoy pain, suffering? Why then should your brothers endure it? I'm to blame for war, yes, that is true. But I'm also the author of mercy and the creator of peace. I save those that may perish by war's hand. Child, know this to be true. War must be fought. It must be fought for freedom, for love. Victory is sweet, and those that survive shall drink of her cup. Child, never forget that beauty comes with hate, and love comes with destruction. Never forget the brothers who fought with you, for they are with you, even past death. One thing I have to say, endure, and life will treat you better. Love, peace, patience, and kindness I now give to you." After all that was said, the soldier sat and wept. At last he said, "Why war? Why God? Why, Sergeant? I have never known sorrow such as this. I have fought and lived, died and existed. I have seen terrors unbeknownst to most, and I have lived through the personification of evil. Still, I remain. I will go in peace. I will live. I promise to never let my brothers die to me, for I know they are here. Never shall I take their sacrifices for granted. Sergeant, I know you must go, but I must say thank you. You have taught me how to live. War, continue on, for I know you are just. God, forgive me, for I am but a child. I am lost in the innocence of my past. I leave now with a heart of gratitude, for I am finally home. My brothers will always be with me, even unto death." End poem.
No, man, I'm touched. I don't know what else to say other than that. I mean, it's a conversation, and it's so raw. And I really just want to give you the opportunity to kind of I want to give you an opportunity to talk more about it. This is an amazing poem. Go ahead.
So the soldiers in this poem are people that I did not know myself. They were people that I'd kind of seen and been around, but this was when I was first in the Army, like 2016. I was probably only in the Army for 2 years at that point. But I remember hearing stories about them, their family members that they left behind. When I originally wrote this poem, I had not deployed yet. So this was just about sharing the stories. Afterwards, when I did deploy, I edited a lot of this because now I actually knew what it was like being in a combat zone and that kind of hostile environment, you know. And the original poem had a lot of, you know, I didn't mess with the body of it, really. I just added onto it. The conversation of soldier and war and war and soldier and stuff like that is, you know, it hits harder once you actually experience it. You can only take so much from what somebody tells you, but then when you yourself go over there and you see people that, you know, you've been to their cookouts and you've met their families and you spend time with their wives and go to their weddings, and then you see them not come home yourself, but you yourself come home. You ever heard of survivor's guilt? Well, that hits you heavily. And it's hard. It's really, really hard. Because then you ask yourself, well, why did I come home? I don't have any kids. He has two kids. One of them was just born before we went to deployment. He never got to see his child walk. So then you start asking yourself, why does war exist? Why does God let this kind of thing happen? And then you really start having this conversation in your own mind. And at the time that this was written, I think I was listening to a song by Five Finger Death Punch called Wrong Side of Heaven. And that influenced this poem a lot. And yeah, after I came back, I edited a lot of this to add the conversation of God versus war, war versus soldier, soldier versus himself. Because that's really what it is, you know. A lot of us that are religious, we kind of go into this, why does this have to happen? And for a long time, you struggle with your own faith. I don't know if any of you are religious. I'm just talking about my own experience, you know. And for a long time, I had that conversation in my own mind. And that's kind of part of why I was just existing, you know. In the beginning, when he's torn, battered, and beaten, that's really what it's like. You're just beaten. You're exhausted. And then you come home and everybody expects you to be the same. You're not the same person. And you have these conversations with yourself over and over and over.
And you invite us into that conversation. And that's what I really liked about this, because there is that need for nurturing. And that's what I liked about the first half, how you keep addressing Sergeant. It could be Sergeant. It could be God. It could be Father. It could be any kind of need for guidance in a time of need. So, yeah, I totally respect everything you've talked about tonight in your service and all of your sacrifice. That's very visceral. And for those of us who, like myself, that have not gone through it, all we can do is appreciate it. But in terms of a poet trying to connect with you, I also connect with you on that level, because I can substitute the word sergeant and for those kinds of needs, for the nurturing, the understanding, the guidance of anything in life. And I think any of us, I can transcend this poem beyond and make it my own, right? I can make it my own in terms of wanting someone that's experienced loss, right? I can understand the pain of that, even though it's not in the same context or the same intensity. I think the way that you framed this and the breaks in it, the format, everything you do, the conversation is it's universal in a lot of ways. I think it's respectable, again, in your framework, but it's universal in a lot of senses. So understanding the background and everything you've done, it's palatable, no doubt, dude. I mean, it's everything we've talked about tonight. But I just want to tell you that as someone, it's not focused. It's not misunderstood by those of us that cannot experience those exact experiences that you've been through. We appreciate them, and we can adapt them because of your poetic style, and that's what I would compliment you on.
Yeah, I kind of wrote it that way just for that purpose, you know. We all go through loss. Everybody listening, everybody here present, we all have known someone that is no longer here on this earth, you know. And so the part where war is life, you know, you have bills, you have responsibilities that you have to go through. You have a job, you might lose that job. Your car might break down. You're always constantly going to struggle with something. There's nobody on this earth, no matter rich, no poor, middle class, doesn't have some kind of struggle. And so I wrote it like that so that people that are going through those struggles, yeah, they can relate. Even if you're not a soldier, you can read this poem and get something from it to know, hey, this is temporary. You know, the struggles we all go through will make us stronger in the end. And that's kind of cliche, but it's true. You know, you come out of the end, and it doesn't have to be war. It can be any little tiny struggle that you deal with. Once you get through it, okay, now I know how to deal with that problem when it comes up in the future. You know, my car breaks down. Well, okay, cool. I've dealt with this before. Now I can deal with it again. Can't really pay my bills too well. Well, okay, I might have to exchange some luxury, but I can pay those bills and continue on with my way of life. And we all struggle. And a lot of the comments that I've had, I posted this on another website, I forget the name of it, but a lot of those comments on that site said that they could take something from it even if they weren't soldiers. And a lot of the poems I write, I feel like have that kind of connection with it, where somebody can take something from everything I write. And that's part of why we do it as poets. It's share stories or just connect with the readers on somehow, some way. Paint the picture for ourselves and them. Everybody's going to look at a poem and get a different picture.
Totally agree, man. Well put. No, I love that. I love that ride. Tammy, you with us? Where are we at right now?
Well, right now we're at the point where Jean is working in the background with Amy to help her to be able to see if she can call in using the link that I sent to her email.
Okay.
So,
perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect, perfect. Well, we can keep continuing the conversation with Eric since we have him, and it's been very enjoyable, at least from my standpoint, so we'll keep doing it.
Okay.
All right, Eric, if you're ready to keep going, we got some more for you, buddy. We have your next
three
poem.
Left.
I got Deliverance on the board. Ready when you are.
Cool. This poem is written for my wonderful girlfriend. March 13th of this year. It's called Deliverance. I was one that thought I could not love. I looked and I waited. I had trembling breath and muffled words. My eyes were dead and my hands were cold. My veins were ice and my arms were numb until you came around. Now, my eyes are warm and my heart is full. When I walk with your hand in mine, my pride feels true. And as we kiss, all of our struggles seem to go away. I love you. You love me. Let's walk together for eternity. End poem.
See, I'm giggling because we usually get an hour, and now I get to call you a big softy. After building you up, Eric, as this hardened soldier, you show us a softer side. No, it's beautiful. I jest. Go ahead, Pam, start us off.
Oh, yes. It was really good. I'm glad we got this extra time for you, Eric, because I was actually going to give you a hard time earlier about not having a poem up for your wonderful girlfriend on the show. But I see now that we have, so good. I hope she gets a chance to listen. If not right now, you know, later on. I think it's poetry is such a wonderful way to express all emotions, including love. And I like that this is romantic, but it's not necessarily over sappy. It's really about a couple, especially in that end line, walking side by side and let's walk together for eternity, really speaks on the idea of a relationship that you're in it for the long haul and that you want a partnership with the person. I also like how you opened this up with, I was one that thought I could not love. I looked and I waited. I had trembling breath and muffled words. That idea that, you wonder if you're actually capable of giving love, and if somebody's, able to love you, and then to find out, to have those wonderful surprises in life. This is definitely just a great love poem. It's very well done, I really appreciate the variety that you brought to tonight's show. Yes, definitely, as you gave us a heads up, some deep darkness, raw honesty, but also a bit of humor, a bit of your favorite authors, and now that wonderful touch of romance. And I would like to know, Eric, what does your writing process look like? When you decide that it's time to write a poem, what are all the stuff you have out, or what do you go through in order to get that poem out?
It depends on the situation. When my girlfriend and I first started dating, it was funny because she wanted to try to like test me, give me little challenges. So we'd be on the phone and she'd give me like a word. And I can do that, it really just, I don't even need a spark per se. A lot of people say my muse this, my muse that. And I'm like, I don't really have a muse sometimes. I just sit down and want to get some thoughts out, and I'll just write a full-length poem like that. For me, like I said earlier, it's spitting stuff out of thin air. I can just create it. And, you guys call it a gift. I call it a talent. Whatever it may be, I've always had it ever since I started writing. It's just I can sit down and write 1,000 words in less than an hour. And I enjoy it. The process for me starts with, if I decide that I want to write, I just sit down and I write. That's all there is to it for me. And I don't mean to sound cocky if I come across as cocky or arrogant. I don't mean to sound that way. I'm just saying it as it is. I just sit down and I write. So does that answer your question?
Absolutely. Yep. Very cool. And no, I don't think you sound cocky at all. I think more people need to be appreciative of the talents they have and be honest about them. So very cool.
Agreed. No, I love that, Pam. I love that. We need more confidence in poetry. So, no, Eric, man, this is your time. So say what you want to say, and we love you regardless. So what I want to say is, and I think Pam touched on it a little bit, if anyone knows how to make me blush in poetry, it's Pam Ray. She knows the topic that I get tongue-tied and ask stupid questions and can't seem to enunciate exactly my point when we get into certain genres. But you've been extremely open tonight, Eric. In all aspects of your life. And we dive into love and you continue to be open. And so I guess what I want you to talk about is with your poetry being cathartic, with your poetry being, and I've already asked you this as well, there's several canons of why you write, but do you struggle diving into certain genres over others? Is it harder for you to be open about your military experience, much more so about love, or are you just an open book?
I'm pretty much an open book. I have never found a style of writing that's hard for me. And whether it's being, I could sit down and 40 military, I could sit down and write an intelligence estimate, something that requires a lot of time and effort. I could sit down and I can write that out. And it's kind of like a journalistic type of style of writing, I could sit down and I can write fiction. Or you give me enough time to write a research paper, I can do that. I've never yet found a style of writing that I can't do. I have the words that I want to say next, but they're stuck at the tip of my tongue. Some styles of writing I don't enjoy doing, right? So like journalistic writing, I hate it. 100% hate it, but I'm good at it. And a lot of people say for them to be good at something, they have to like it. Not so for me. I can do it. I just don't like doing it. You know, I've done it before in the past, hated it, but at the end of the day, you got to do what you got to do. I've never really struggled with any style of writing.
No, that's funny, because I would say it's the exact opposite for most. I think recounting and not putting emotion or not being honest or not sharing oneself in terms of being journalistic writing should be a lot easier, right? I mean, if you can just find words. You have a boldness to your writing, I mean, and definitely in this interview, that is enviable, man. And never lose that, because this is what makes the juice of this show so, I would hope, enjoyable for anyone that chooses to listen in, is a poet like yourself that not only shares their poetry, and in this huge group that we have in all poetry, a lot of that is lost, right? A lot of times it's hard to pick a poet that is being bold and honest, or a poet that throws up a lot of masks, a poet that is not, you know, that is just relying on device or whatever, or relying on trends. So to find someone that speaks from the heart like you do is enviable. I'm forever thankful for this conversation tonight. I'm forever thankful for how honest you've been, and I think we get to keep going. Unless Amy has been able to connect with us, we have a couple more from Eric. We have Cry. Is that true?
Not yet.
Amy's not with us, right? All right, Eric. It's going to be your show tonight, buddy. So keep going if you're comfortable.
Do you have Our Walk or is it Cry next?
I actually have Our Walk. I think I might have missed it. So let's do Cry and I can bring up Our Walk after this if you'd like.
Okay.
Or I can switch gears. I can switch gears if you'd like to. It's not a big deal. You want to go to Our Walk?
Let's do Our Walk first, yeah.
Okay. Let me pull that up. Not a problem. There you go. It's on the boards. Ready when you
are. Okay. So this is another poem that, once again, has been written for my lovely girlfriend. Not sure if she's listening or not. She might still be at work, but this is called Our Walk, written in October of 2022. Our Walk. Leaves fall with the whispering winds, and the grass like velvet touches our skin. Shall not this walk be remembered time immemorial? The smell of the turning tides of time remind me of our gentle hand-in-hand walk, and the vibrant colors of the trees tell me of the touch from our souls. Kiss me here. Soak in the touch of our lips. Lie down with me. The day is coming to an end. Walk among the sights previously unseen, because at the time everything was a foliage green. Forget not the brisk chill of our skin so keen, and taste on my lips the touch of a sight unforeseen.
Well, don't fear, my friend. These shows are immortalized, so your girlfriend, Mrs. Eric Herf, can always start from the beginning and experience everything we've talked about tonight at her leisure for free on Blog Talk Radio. But you know what's really cool? And I haven't thought about this in a long time. Let's talk about me for a second. I have had the luxury or the inconvenience of experiencing long-distance relationships a couple times in my life. And there's an intensity to it, right? There's a different kind of communication that has to exist to keep it alive. And I don't know. It's very cool from everything we've talked about tonight and seeing this kind of shift in the tone of the last couple of poems that we've had. that you've experienced that and how you've kind of voiced that and reminded me that long-distance relationships are a different kind of loving struggle, and to enunciate that or put it on the paper or to make someone remember, I don't know, again, it's a talent, man. It's everything we've talked about again, that you're connecting with your readers, and I appreciate your style and your honesty and the way that you are able to pinpoint on those emotions that many of us have already felt. So do you want to talk about that? Do you want to talk about long-distance relationships and how tough that is, or the struggle that you're doing, or the emotions, the intensity you're feeling?
Yeah, so for us in particular, it's a little bit more different because of our situation. That's something I'm not going to go into because it's, you know. But the overall scenario is we talk on a deeper level than anyone else I've ever encountered, you know. You just get this feel whenever you're talking, whenever we're talking to each other, that you can tell when something's off. You know, you can tell, we can tell when one of us isn't at our best, and that's okay with us. We can sit for hours on the phone with each other and not say a single word, but just knowing that the other one is there gives that comforting sense. It's funny, the relationship started with us just asking questions, wanting to know every and any little thing about each other. And eventually it got to the point where, you know, we play these little couples card games to, you know, sometimes pass the time. And it's like, these are considered deep questions to other people, when for us, that's just like a normal question. That's how deep and how strong our bond has gotten in this short amount of time that we've been together. You know, and I've been married before. I've been in serious, committed relationships. I haven't felt this strongly connected to someone else as I do with her. And we've had the luxury of, you know, meeting each other face-to-face a couple of times, and that strengthened the bond to where, you know, we can go through our hard times. Every couple does. Every person goes through hard times. But we know at the end of the day that we love each other, and that bond is untouchable.
That's what everyone can only want, man. No, I mean, no. The way you enunciated that, or articulated that is a better word. That's what everyone strives for. So, well put, man. Go ahead, Pam.
Yeah, I like that we get two love poems in a row. And I like the title of this one, Our Walk. And it's a very sensory-orientated poem, you know, with the mention of the sights and the sounds and the scents, the smell of the turning tides of time reminds me of our gentle hand and hand walk, and the vibrant colors of the trees tell me of the touch from our souls. You know, wonderful lines and beautifully written and very well done. And I think I am going to ask you the infamous casserole dish question.
So, woot, woot.
Yes. So imagine that I have just handed to you a 9x13 casserole dish, and in it you are going to put the ingredients that make up Eric Herf, the poet and person, and the ingredients do not have to be food. They can be metaphorical, they can be non-edible, whatever you want them to be. What's going in that casserole dish?
Confidence in oneself. The foundation
that
built. And the trust that I have with the people that I have in my life. That's it.
That is a good casserole. I like it.
Damn. Damn, Pammy, he went deeper than any other dish we've had put in the oven yet. That was a very great answer, Eric.
The all-time funniest, though, was the first time you asked that question, Jeremy. The first time you asked that question, and there was just dead silence.
No, I like it when poets can be called to the table, called to the carpet, right on the spot, and they produce. So, Eric, very deep, man. It's kind of our fun little question that we do. So, well answered. Very much enjoyed. I think we have Cry is up. If you want me to post it up again, I can make it fresh. But it is up ready when you are.
Let's delve into it. And this is... This is the last deep poem of the night. Okay. I don't remember exactly writing this, though. I'm not going to lie. Might have been just a word vomit. So, this is called Cry. Wrote this in September of 21. Cry. Rob me of my dignity and cast me aside like an unlit cigarette. Throw me to the wolves and laugh at my shame. Judge all you can. The apple has begun to rot. Live in the moment, and on the devil you begin to trot. Fear me in the bright light, and live in the moment. You do not want to walk in my shoes, because it is easier to point. Faint is my voice, but I still walk. Quiet is my tongue, but I will always tread the waters.
Ooh, this one rocks. I mean, this one rocks quick. And what I want to talk to you about is... you had said in your advice, right? Write whatever you want. Don't worry about format. But you are kind of a little bit of a slave to format. I mean, you obviously make nods to classical poetry. Talk about device. Talk about what it means to you, and talk about your homage to poetic form and how important it is.
So the poems I've read tonight kind of follow the same formatting that I like to use. Just because it's comfortable to me, I like writing in this format. The four stanzas, four lines each, kind of classic, you know, what you think of a poem. But I can do other formats if I want to. You know, I kind of limit myself sometimes, if you know what I mean. Like, I keep it to four stanzas because I feel like if you go long, a lot of times you'll lose the attention of the reader, especially someone that's just a casual observer, you know, someone that's not really looking at things too deep. They might skim over some lines. What I like to do is I like to grab attention using strong words or emotion, imagery. And it's comfortable to me. You know,
go ahead. I don't want to interrupt you. Go ahead.
A lot of the times when I'm writing out just my thoughts, that's when you'll find the more unformatted versions, like Deliverance. When I'm just writing how my love out for her, for my girlfriend, is that I'll just, you know, this is what I feel for you, as let's walk hand in hand in eternity. The formatted stuff, the four stanzas, that's, I literally think that poem was just word vomit, I'm not going to lie. I was probably drunk at the time and just writing something to get some thoughts out. Because at the time, I think, I got a DUI. And so there were a lot of people that used to be my friends that were not friends anymore because they either A, wanted me to keep drinking, or B, were like, you got a DUI, loser. I was like, you can't walk in my shoes. You can't do the things I've done. There's no right to judge me. And that's what the whole poem is about, is if you can't walk in my shoes, if you can't do the things I've done, you can't judge me. You can't tell me what's what.
No, that's fair. And I'm a slave to it. No, because that really, everything you commented on touches a major chord, because I am a slave to wanting to hit the formats. I want to hit the four mm-hmm. line. I want to hit the classical stanza format. So seeing that you do that, along with what you've talked about earlier, along with just being free and writing down words, it is a challenge for me personally to break beyond that. Every time I want to do a classic Shakespearean or Elizabethan sonnet, because that is the right format for poetry. But breaking beyond it, there's value in that too, and there's a rawness and there's an honesty, right? Everything that we talked about tonight. So I like the fact that you have an homage to it, and it works so well with everything you did. Pammy, you with us? You want to chime in on this one? Or you want to hit the next one?
We can go ahead and hit the next one.
No problem. I know that you're working hard to bring Amy in, and it looks like it's been
actually,
a miss for her.
Amy did make it through, but because there was only about, say, like 23 minutes left, her and I talked, and she decided to have us reschedule so that, and now that she knows how to get in, she can get in and get that full hour without anyone having to stay up extra late.
Perfect. Perfect, perfect. Well, lucky for you, Eric, you get to headline for a full 2 hours, buddy, and I got your final poem ready when you are. Anthem is on the boards.
Anthem. I don't have that on my list. Let me okay. This is once more another hard hitter. So, Anthem. I wrote this in 2019. The note fades to black as I look out into the light. In this moment, I have no truth. I feel my pounding hurt. Why does God not help me? I feel so alone. Is there anybody out there, please, just once, can you let me be weak? It's 11:11, and I feel so lost. Will you miss me if I'm gone? Will the rumors still spread like the wildfire they are? Why did this world forsake me, refusing to let me live in glory? Is there anybody out there, please, just once, can I cry without the gavel pounding on a desk? Call me stupid, call me weak, because judging is so easy, so fucking easy. I want to live, but I can't cast my own die. Why forsake me when I barely have the strength to move on? Is there anybody out there? Please, just once, let me escape this hell. Forgive me, this shit sucks, and I'm barely hanging on. I feel worthless. What more have I to give? Please, God, tell me, how can I live? Is there anybody out there? Please, just once, let me fight my demons. I'm crying alone, deep in my own hate. I pity myself, because I feel no empathy. I weep alone, feeling sorry for myself. Some days I am strong, but now I am not. Is there anybody out there? Please, just once, hear my cry. I have loved many, and I've been strong for so long. How much longer can I hold on? Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. This soldier could not escape his own end. Is there anybody out there? Please, just once, don't let me die.
Go ahead, Pam. Dive in.
Yeah, this one is just a powerful, emotive write. It really just lays it out all bare. You know, I always know that a poem moves me when I start a written comment with damn. You know, I really thought when we first read this poem back a couple years ago or so, that it was despair beautifully written, raw and honest. And I still feel the same way. Like there's, you know, I really like that you take time to write about the experience of depression. And it's not that the topic of depression is likable, but it is something that needs to be written about because, as you were touching on earlier, and it's something I've said before, is I think people need to be able to read poetry on difficult subjects like war and abuse and depression and mental illness, and know that there's somebody out there who understands, who connects with what they are going through. And I also like how this speaks on the idea of judgment and how too quickly people are willing to cast judgment when they haven't been in that situation, when they haven't been in those shoes. I just think this is an amazing write all the way through and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Oh, yeah, this was one of the ones that I read in one of the other blog talks radio, huh?
Yeah, you wrote it for Rex and then mine's After Midnight show about 3 years ago.
Been that long, huh?
Yeah.
Well, Eric, no bullshit. You made a fan out of me tonight. I'm following you now. I can't wait to see what you have to offer. Your honesty has been very much appreciated. It's been a pleasure for me to celebrate your poetry, but also the deeper conversation, man. I mean, again, this is the whole point of what we're trying to do, is expose people who are on AP a little bit deeper. So other poets can connect. And you have with me, man. I appreciate all of your artwork in terms of poetry. And I don't know. I don't have much else to say other than I'm a fan. You're a real person, and you put it out there. And that's bold. That takes balls, and you do it well. You do it with talent. You do it with artistry. And I can't wait to see what comes next. Thank you. For filling in. Amy was having some technical difficulties and couldn't show up. So we extended you, and you fulfilled my heart, man. It was good stuff. I want
to
give you
the
last. Yeah, no, I want to give you the last word. You can sign us off, say whatever you want to say, and tell the audience good night when you're ready.
All right. Well, thank you for having me, guys. It was a pleasure to be here. Pleasure to have conversation. If there's anybody else listening that maybe didn't chime in, I hope something from here you drawed out of that could help you. Always keep in mind that poetry is an art. It doesn't have to follow rhymes, reason. It doesn't have to follow formatting. Just let it out. It can be a great therapy tool. And that's all I got. Unless if I can, we want to read one more, I can read a freebie.